Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Parties will be on a listen-only mode for the call today. The call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. To turn the call over to Dr. Ella Knoll. Thank you. You may begin.
Hi. I'd like to welcome you all to the National Government Services J6 and JK Open Meeting. Next slide. As the operator pointed out, this call is being recorded and transcribed and will be available at a later date. If you do not wish to be recorded and/or transcribed, please drop off the call. Next slide. As part of our welcome to today's meeting, I would like to introduce our contract medical directors at National Government Services. We have Dr. Elwood, Dr. Durden, Dr. Lawrence, Dr. Mullen, Dr. McKinney, and myself. Let's go to the next slide. We have two LCDs, or local coverage determinations, that we're going to talk about today. The first is DL37421, magnetic resonance image-guided high-intensity focused ultrasound for tremor, and DL39189, mass spectrometry testing in monoclonal gammopathy. Next slide. We'll start with the DL37421. This LCD revision is in response to an LCD reconsideration regarding unilateral pallidotomy of patients with advanced idiopathic Parkinson's disease with medication refractory moderate to severe motor complications as an adjunct to Parkinson's disease medication treatment and the removal of bilateral phlebotomy as a limitation. Next slide. The use of the word dominant in the coverage indications has been removed from the following: moderate to severe postural or intention tremor of the hand, defined by a score of equal to two on the clinical rating scale of tremor. Indications have also been added for bilateral phlebotomy for essential tremor. Next slide. Limitations have been added for the following: both bilateral phlebotomy for Parkinson's disease and unilateral pallidotomy for Parkinson's disease. The skull density ratio has been changed from less than 0.45 to less than 0.40. Next slide. We will now have a presentation from Dr. Kolanek and Dr. Gordon, and excuse me if I mispronounce your name, Baltush. Whoever is going to start the presentation may begin.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Knoll. This is Dr. Kolanek with Insightec, and you can go to the next slide. I'm not, in the interest of the time allowed, for the presentation, I'm just going to briefly run through the first couple of slides, and then I'll hand it over to Dr. Baltush to actually present the remaining slides and the data. As you can see on this slide, one of the things that we wanted to speak to you about today is the limitations added for specifically the Parkinson's disease and unilateral pallidotomy for Parkinson's disease. Next slide, please. As you can see, the specific limitation within the draft as it relates to the added limitation for the unilateral pallidotomy for Parkinson's disease as not covered is what we would like to address today. Next slide. The use of MR-guided focused ultrasound in the unilateral pallidotomy of patients with advanced idiopathic Parkinson's disease with medication refractory moderate to severe motor complications as an adjunct is stated in the LCD, the draft LCD, that it is not ready for widespread use after review of the article in the New England Journal of Medicine, which was our pivotal trial publication based on the FDA approval. Additionally, within the reasoning that NGS made the determination as not considered covered yet, is that the conclusion stated that longer and larger trials are required to determine the effect and safety of this technique. So with that said, I would like to pass it over to Dr. Gordon Baltush, And Dr. Gordon or Dr. Baltuck, if you could just introduce yourself and give where you come from and then present the most recent data that wasn't supplied when NGS was making the review and the determination.
Yeah, hi, thank you very much. I'm Gordon Baltuck. I'm a functional neurosurgeon at Columbia. Full disclosures, I'm not a consultant to Insightec. I'm not being paid for what I'm doing today. However, I did participate as a investigator in the clinical trial that was published in the New England Journal, and that was an industry-sponsored clinical trial. So Insightec did sponsor and pay for that full clinical trial at the time. In terms of the New England Journal article, I mean, it's a sort of ray of solocator. The evidence is there for itself. Next slide. We ran a trial, a sham control trial, in a group of patients who had very advanced Parkinson's disease to see if using an incisionless procedure, which has been developed for essential tremor, we could help these patients performing a unilateral pallidotomy, and which we demonstrated in randomized controlled fashion that there is effectiveness in doing a focused ultrasound pallidotomy compared to sham. Though interestingly enough, there is a placebo, as you see in all Parkinson's in all these Parkinson's trials. There is a significant placebo. Every trial that you do for Parkinson's seems to always show one. And the safety was great. In a big group of patients, compared to other stuff that we do surgically in movement disorders, we had fabulous safety. This was a group of about 39 patients who did well over a decent period of time. Again, if you look at this type of cohort in terms of the type of patient we're looking at here, this is a patient with advanced Parkinson's who still has some responsiveness to medication, but is probably the kind of patient who you're not going to do an open procedure on, either for comorbidities or for cognitive reasons. And as mentioned, we had no untoward cognitive effects from this procedure, which is something that you don't see when you do deep brain stimulation, which I've done thousands of, as well as open lesions, which we do very few of anymore. Next slide. This has been, if we keep going with the slides, I mean, the safety was great in this procedure. We had very good changes in UPDRS considering, I mean, is it a super robust effectiveness? No, it's not. I don't think you're going to get the robustness that you get from deep brain stimulation comparatively, but these are patients who are not going to get deep brain stimulation in general. They're either not candidates because of comorbidities or because of cognitive reasons, et cetera, in general. So this is a very sort of select type of patient population. Yes, you will have certain patients who don't want deep brain stimulation and want an ultrasound procedure. That's a bit of a different type of cohort, but in general, these were advanced Parkinson's patients. Let's skip to the meta-analysis, which is recent, and I didn't think you had that information. Next slide.
Actually, it's the previous slide. It's the previous slide that was showing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one. You went back one too many. I'm sorry.
One forward?
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Number eight.
In a larger cohort of people, you can see it extends itself. One of the criticisms that's been made is you don't have really long-term effect of this. Again, pallidotomies were never meant to have long-term effect. These were procedures that were meant to be sort of palliative salvage procedures for people with end-stage Parkinson's disease. And if you got 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years out of it, it was considered good. No one ever had this procedure with the idea we're going to get 5-year data out of it. That's never what a pallidotomy was really created for. This is how we look at that. Next slide. So next slide again. and these are some of the other types of procedures. Again, what you're looking at here is really, I don't think you're going to get the effectiveness that you have with DBS or with an RF procedure. However, I don't think the safety is incomparable. The safety is much better, number one. Number two, these are patients who are likely not going to be candidates for those procedures. And I think with that, I think I'm going to turn it back over to Dee so she can summarize, unless you want to talk about some of the other things.
If we could go to slide, if we could continue for the next few slides, there is a couple of things that we do want to continue on.
Yeah, be interactive.
This one here, slide number 20. One of the things that we do want to make sure that NGS understands is that the risk and benefit analysis of the actual FDA-approved pivotal trial for the PMA was a very rigorous study design. The safety showed good safety profiles for the thermal ablation of the GPI area of the brain that we are targeting. And obviously the effectiveness demonstrated a 68% responder improvement rate. Now, the overall conclusion for the FDA premarket approval that we received, the data supported that reasonable assurance of safety and effectiveness of this device when used in accordance with the indications for use. Based on the results of the pivotal trial, the unilateral thermal ablation of the GPI adjunctive to medication using the Exablate Neuro may provide benefit as an alternative to other existing treatments relative to the risk in the selected patients with severe disabling motor complications of the advanced idiopathic Parkinson's disease patient. Next slide. You can go to the next slide. In the interest of time, we're trying to go through. So the summary and recommendations that both Dr. Baltok and other providers that will be commenting during the comment period, and SciTech feels that the unilateral pallidotomy for the Parkinson's disease patient using the Exablate Neuro device, also called MR-guided focused ultrasound, should be considered safe, effective, and a durable treatment for patients with those advanced idiopathic Parkinson's disease patients. We believe, based on the most recent meta-analysis that wasn't available at the time when NGS reviewed the data for the LCD reconsideration, that Medicare, once you, and we will provide that study post-meeting, that we believe that NGS Medicare should consider allowing coverage to Medicare beneficiaries. As Dr. Baltok said, this is not replacing any other procedure. It is just another tool in functional neurosurgeons' armamentarium for patients who either are not the best candidate for other options or prefer a incisionless. Next slide. And then lastly, we do applaud NGS's decision within the draft regarding to the other language, and we do recommend that you finalize the following. The use of the word dominant in the coverage indication, and then obviously the moderate or the indication for the bilateral thalamotomy for essential tremor, and then the change in the skull density ratio. One last thing I do want to make mention that is not included in this slide is it may be beneficial to change the title of the LCD because it originally is related to tremor, and this technology is advancing for other movement disorders besides essential tremor. With that said, that concludes our presentation. We do appreciate your time, and if there's any questions, now would be a great time with Dr. Baltok on the call. Great, thank you very much.
Would you like to ask questions on the phone line? Are you wanting to go to questions on the audio line now? Thank you. We will begin our question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. One moment, please. At this time, we have no questions on the phone line, but as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And we have no questions on the phone line.
Can I have the next slide, please? So the comment period for this draft will end on August 10th at 11:59 p.m. All formal comments must be submitted in writing to us. I would ask that you send any new articles in their entirety to us with your comments so that we may have that literature available to review as we read your comments for the draft. So this concludes this portion of the open meeting regarding DL37421, magnetic resonance image guided high intensity focused ultrasound for tremor. Next slide. We will go on to DL39189, mass spectrometry testing in monoclonal gammopathy. This was based on a reconsideration request for the use of serum and urine mass spectrometry in monoclonal gammopathies to be added as an indication of coverage. Use of urine mass spectrometry in monoclonal gammopathies has been deleted from the limitations of coverage. References 25 and 26 have been added to the bibliography in support of coverage. Next slide. Next, we will hear from Dr. Murray from the Mayo Clinic on this testing. Please proceed, Dr. Murray.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Yes, my name is David Murray. I am the co-director of the Protein Immunology Lab. I'm a pathologist at Mayo Clinic, and I oversee the testing for monoclonal gammopathies at the Mayo Clinic. So we can go to the next slide, please. In terms of conflict of interest, nothing directly related to this request, but Mayo does have intellectual property rights filed on this mass spectroscopy method, and it's been licensed to Binding Site, which is now part of Thermo Fisher. Next slide, please. So here's the topics we would like to discuss. First of all, we're very appreciative of your response to our reconsideration for this request for urine. We want to suggest a few article edits in the ruling, but the bulk of what we want to talk about is expanding coverage to additional ICD-10 codes, especially as it applies to symptoms of monoclonal gammopathies. So next slide, please. First one, we know that the specific documentation requirements have been removed from the requirements, that is specifying serum or urine, but we also noted that those fields are still there, and we'd like to suggest that this field are no longer needed, and the claims can be just filed with the references without the serum and urine. Next slide, please. Also, we looked at the utilization guidelines. We see that there are these two utilization guidelines. One is serum. In regards to immunofixation, that it will be denied with the submission of the PLA code. But both of these are already addressed in the NCII PPP edits and the MUE. So we feel like this is redundant. And so for consistency's sake, For future changes, we would like to just have them in the one NCCI version of the restrictions. Next slide, please. But this is the main part of what we want to ask today. What is the best method for us to expand coverage as this test utilization evolves? In particular, we get a lot of requests or a lot of questions from our providers as to why this test, which is also designed to screen for monoclonal gammopathies, can't be used for symptoms of monoclonal gammopathies before the diagnosis is established. So we've noticed that some of the additional support and references in the bibliography section do address the symptoms of monoclonal gammopathies, and we're looking for expanded coverage into things like heart failure, chronic kidney disease, nephrotic syndrome, and not listed here, also anemia. And that was because, on the next slide, please. Just reminding everyone of the major defining events of multiple myeloma, the so-called CRAB criteria. These are the events that sort of trigger some of the testing that we get in the lab. Renal damage, we see a lot of patients that have what we call MGRS at Mayo Clinic, and so we do a lot of screening for monoclonal gammopathies for patients with renal damage. Anemia, which is one of the main symptoms of an unexplained anemia, is one of the main symptoms of myeloma, but right now we don't have coverage under the ICD-10 code of anemia. So we're looking for ways to best expand the coverage and the best method. We realize that this test is actually replaces both SPEP and IFE at Mayo Clinic, and currently there aren't any ICD-10 restrictions on those two entities. So now that we've changed over, we're getting questions on how do we best coverage these kind of events. Next slide. All right, so that concludes my brief presentation here. We do appreciate the opportunity to present today, and looking forward to guidelines in the expanded coverage. Thank you.
Are you wanting to go into questions on the phone line?
Yes.
Sure. Let's check for questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to make a comment, please press star one. And at this time, we have no one in queue, but again, please press star one if you would like to make a comment. And at this time, we have no one in the queue.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Murray, if you need to request changes to the ICD-10 codes in the article for a policy, usually all that is required is sending us a notice and of what codes you want added and why, because we do realize that we do miss some codes as they apply to the policy. And you do not usually need to go through a formal reconsideration request. Please send your comments in writing to us so that we can look at those and respond to them and make any changes that we see fit. And I believe this is due by August 10th at midnight, and we will develop the response to comments document, and that will be available on the Medicare database. Next slide. This concludes the portion of the open meeting regarding DL 39189, mass spectrometry testing in monoclonal gammopathy. Next slide. To comment on a proposed LCD during the official comment period, you may click on the public comments button on the proposed LCD in the Medicare coverage database, or you may send them via email to ngsdraftlcdcomments@anthem.com, or you may also send them by mail to National Government Services. LCD Comments, T.O. Box 7108, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46207-7108. Next slide. I believe that's it. This concludes our meeting for today. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.